Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to High School Hoops. Today, this week, and next week, what I've done is I've gone and grabbed some of my most popular Coach Unplugged podcasts, ones that I think that you will really enjoy. I'm giving Jake a little bit of a break from High School Hoops. He's got some family stuff going on, and he's been really busy. So I thought I'd go back and grab a couple of those that you really like. I think you'll really love these podcasts. They're some of the most popular ones on Coach Unplugged, and I think you'll really enjoy them. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I cannot imagine a better shooting machine. I know we're having problems possibly getting into our gym this summer. We are going to find a place and take our Dr. Dishes with us. So wherever we can find a gym, we're going to take our Dr. Dishes with us. If you mention Coach Unplugged High School Hoops, teachhoops.com, Coach Collins, anything, they'll give you $400 off. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking to take your coaching to the next level, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for resources, if you're looking for the one-stop shop, there's nothing else on the market like it. I will help you in this great journey. It's a very unique product. It's one I would have wanted. It's built by, you know, one of the winningest basketball coaches in the state of Wisconsin over the last 20 years, probably had the most successful, at least Division I program, I know for sure, which is the biggest in our state. But probably in the Midwest, we've been that successful since numerous players to play both in the NBA and professionally. But I want to help you. That's what I could have used. I had some mentors, but something I could have used as a young coach. So go over and check it out. And do it now before prices go up. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.
One. All right, coach. So let's just jump right in and you tell me why you pick this press. Because I've run the run and jump before. I've run a 2-2-1. I've run a 1-3-1, three-quarter court. Why the 1-2-2?
Well, when I first started coaching, I was more of a man-to-man coach.
Okay.
Before I came to Boonville, I've been here for 8 years. I was up at Northeast Missouri, a place called Scotland County, Memphis, Missouri, and coaching girls. And we had a group that, like I said, we used to get up in you, switch all screens, maybe throw out some zone. But this group wasn't going to be as quick. So I wanted to do something where we could take and still maybe get some turnovers, you know, run something maybe a little bit different than other people do. But knowing we wouldn't get as many turnovers, pressure man-to-man, I wanted to run some type of system where I know we could take and, like I say, kind of get some turnovers along the way, but it's a little bit different than man-to-man. So I went with the 1-2-2 ball press.
Okay, and why – and you do not have the shot clock, correct?
We do not.
Okay. Because I think if the it'd be interesting to ask coaches in states that have it. I bet there's a lot of 1-2-2 run. I bet there's a lot of 2-2-1 run for people to have shot clocks. So what do you think the strength and the weaknesses of this press are?
Well, definitely.
I think to be a good coach, you need to know the strengths, but then you need to know the weaknesses because people are going to try to counter your weaknesses is the reason
sure.
I'm asking.
You know, and I got a list here of things, like when it comes to like advantages, you know, things that are, and I've been lucky enough here at Boonville to take and have above average athletes.
Right.
Especially for what we see in mid-Missouri in our class, where we've been a class 3, now we're a class 4 the last couple of years. So it kind of takes advantage of using your athletes, you know, getting traps, just the pressing, makes some misses. But again, with ball press, one, it takes in, you're constantly applying pressure. We do something different. We take and we press, make some misses. where, you know, most teams around here might run a 1-2-2 zone press after a make. You know, we're going to ball press and run that 1-2-2 zone back to a trapping 1-2-2, both makes and misses. So it's something different, something that you have to prepare for differently. Again, I guess it forces the opponents in an unorganized style of play, you know, especially off the misses. You know, everybody has an organized press breaker off makes, but on a miss, you know, you don't know who's going to be handling the ball. And again, you might get some easy turnovers there. So it's an unorganized style of play. Again, it forces opponents out of their normal offense. One of the coaches around here in Mid-Missouri after the game this year, he had a comment in the paper basically saying when they play us, you have to be able to just to kind of make plays because your structured offense, your zone offense, you might, you know, we're going to probably do something maybe to take you out of it. You know, we're going to try, you know, throw different, you know, trapping system. We might, you know, trap one possession, next look, the next possession might, we might peel back in the passing lane or do something different.
And you have calls for those?
But that's all on reads, on reads with the girl where, but the rule, which we'll go over later on, is you can't do the same thing more than twice in a row. So if we trap twice in the baseline corner, the next time we either have to play pass lane back to the guard or we have to bluff and peel back in the passing lane just to kind of keep them off balance a little bit. Okay. With us, like this year, we took in, I think we, not just turnovers, we probably averaged about 18-plus steals a game.
Okay.
You know, I think the looking at the stuff off huddle assist, our opponent's turnover percentage was somewhere in the upper 30s. So, you know, this defense kind of gave us a lot of chances to get easy, you know, steals, which led to points in transition.
Okay.
You get those quite a bit. You know, just the defensive intensity. And honestly, kids, I mean, players like to press. They like to get up and down and do some things.
That's a plus. That is definitely a plus.
Yeah. And that's what's good about this defense is it's a very tempo control. You can take, if you want to slow teams down, you can maybe run a little bit more of a contained type press where you're just kind of less trapping, just slowing the tempo down a little bit. If you want to be like us, we're very aggressive out of it. So we can take and trap, you know, all over the floor in all four corners in the quarter court. Some coaches I know only trap the baseline corners. So you can take and tweak it whatever way you want. It doesn't matter if you're having, you know, if you got quick players, slow players, tall, short, there's different ways you can take and adjust it to help your personnel and what you have.
Okay.
You know, weaknesses with it. You know, teams with us, if we've had the luxury of getting ahead a lot. And I'll tell my girls, it's important that we take and get a lead because, you know, if you get behind at times, and we'll take and extend it and try to trap in, but teams might take and spread you out a little bit. Right. You know, they kind of control the tempo compared to, you know, us control. Right. So, you know, teams, you know, the high post area with a 1-2-2 can be, you know, vulnerable a little bit. You know, if you put a playmaker or something or a nice post in the high post, that can kind of give you problems a little bit. Shooters, like anything else, shooters can, especially in the corners, because you have those threes in the back. You know, but if you got threes in the back, they have to basically cover corner to corner. So if somebody takes and, you know, picks on a slower three, that can maybe take and kind of be a disadvantage for you. But so that's kind of when it comes to the defense.
So I'm playing you and I'm more athletic than you. Does that, I mean, can you, maybe I need to reword this. I'm less athletic than most of the teams in my conference. Can I run this against my conference
team? Yes.
If I'm less athletic.
Yeah, I would say take a look at, and this is more up your direction, but towards Springfield, Illinois. Okay. Legend coach Neil Alexander coaches at Lincoln, Illinois. He is usually if you look at game films of his, he usually has probably the lesser of the athletes, but he runs it where he stays. It's a great equalizer defense where if you're a little bit less skilled or less athletic, it can maybe keep you in the games more where you have a chance at the end type thing, just because now again, you might not be as aggressive and trap as much out of it, but maybe you contain a little bit more in the top of the press. And then once you start getting more into the quarter court, half court, maybe you start trapping a little bit more, being a little bit more aggressive. But, you know, if you get into a quick off misses, you can slow them down. Maybe they're not going to get their points in transition. So that was the one thing that kind of sold on me earlier was, because I had some of those teams, and even my first year here at Boonville, We were very, very young, and but it kept us in games. And those girls got older. Then once they started getting a little bit more older and a little bit more athletic, more skilled, it just had a different look to it. But so yes,
you can. Okay. All right. So let's go through the basic drops of it, and then I'm sure I'll have questions on that.
Okay. Do you want me to start with the like the full court or?
Yeah, do the full court. Do the full court. Do the full court stuff.
Okay. Can you see? Okay.
I can. It's perfect. Yeah.
Am I taking? Move over here.
People yeah, can that's see perfect. Except, yep.
But okay, so we have different pickup points, and the Steve, the thing about the pickup points are because we can go full court. So I mean, this is three quarter court right here.
Right.
So I have I label my my players. We have a one. We have the twos. And we have the three.
I love that. Where'd you get that? Because I used that this year when we put it in. I like that. Where'd
that
you
was
get
just that? One of my former coach. Who I when we started running this, you know, him and I talked quite a bit about it, and that's kind of how he did it.
Okay.
He just labeled that way. Now, like when it first came about in Illinois, and even Lauren Wallace here at Quincy, Illinois, he would label a point, your wings, and your backs. So, but we went ahead and just had like a numbering system. So, because when we trap, we call it 1-2 traps. We call it 2-3 traps. It's just what we did. But we have the pickup points for us is we can move. So, this is your three-quarter court. This is our base defense. Everything we do, makes or misses, this is pretty much what we do majority of the time, if not all the time. We
get to the three-quarter court.
Yep.
Is it really hard to run it full? I have found most high school teams cannot run it full.
I think.
Around three-quarter.
Girls, I think – you know, especially at our level and everything, I think it's, you know, if you have a little bit of the depth and everything, you know, it becomes more of like a diamond and one type, right. You know. But, you know, we're not going to find too many girls who can make those long, deep, diagonal passes. Boys, like with you, what you coach and everything,
right?
It might be a little bit different. We don't like to give up a whole lot of stuff on the back end, which we don't give up a lot of stuff. You know, boys coaches might have to live with that a little bit more. But so we can pick up full court. We can take and go three quarter court. We can back it up. We're the one. I mean, everybody has like the volleyball lines, the spike line. We can bring the one to there. The twos in back up 15 feet from her. The threes would back up based off the twos.
Okay.
And we just basically call, this defense to us is our blue defense. So that would just be, I'll just tell the girls, hey, we're in half. We just keep it simple. Or then we'll go quarter court, which is, and with half court, we will then trap right when they come across into the front court.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah, with the three-quarter court, we can trap, you know, in the back court or the front court. Pretty much in between those volleyball lines are where we want to take it to trap. Or we can just basically drop it back into, like, the quarter court where the twos are at the elbows, kind of like what you see over here in some of these drills.
Okay.
So that's our pickup points. And, the main things with the ball press are, you know, first of all, think about like the volleyball court, you know.
Draw the volleyball court on there. Just dotted. Put it in dotted lines.
Because say we take and I'm trying to think here.
I think it's like there. Because I talk about this all the time when we do it. Is the volleyball lines? Yep. Like we want to trap outside the volleyball line.
Yeah, and that's what's perfect. Is you know that's where you want to keep the ball on the outside and not let it go through the middle, which. It's like any zone defense, even in the half court, you know, keep the ball, you know, we don't want that a penetrating pass or a penetrating dribble in our zone. Same thing here. You want to keep it outside the volleyball lines. So when we start teaching the ball press, we will take, and even on day one, we'll do a lot of these quarter court drills, but we'll at least show them and do something in the three quarter court, just because that's the way we want to play. We want to start developing that mentality with them.
So you do the parts and then you do the hole.
Yep.
You do the hole is the entire 1-2-2. Okay.
Yep. And then as we go, we'll start adding more drills. And there might be a day like the first day of practice, we might take and get them in their positions and just kind of let them play out of it just to get them pressing makes and misses. It might be the ugliest thing you see, but we know eventually we can start cleaning up. You know, we'll tell them. I said, we just want to get your legs in shape and get your that mindset of you guys pressing, make some misses. You're probably going to give up stuff. That's okay. Eventually we're going to break this thing down and we're going to clean it up. But we just want to get you knowing where you're supposed to be. Okay. So when the ball goes in, you may just go through like the different
Yeah, just go through the different drops and where you're trying to funnel. And because I think we did a pretty good job of, it's kind of like being on strings moving side to side.
Yes,
So it took a while to get that movement, but it's almost like a dance.
I mean, we always talk about
people listening. It's a little bit harder to understand what I'm talking about. But when the ball goes from side to side, it's like this dance going.
It is. And that's one of the main things is you want to, all five players should be moving at the same time. When that ball, you know, when a player pivots, you should be moving. You should be pivoting. You should be reading, anticipating that pass. You know, when the ball gets reversed and it's moving, everybody should be moving on airtime. So you're in sync. You know,
that anticipation thing where you do your breakdown stuff was that was helpful as far as figuring out.
Sure.
So
I'm going to go. I'm hoping you can see this here.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yep.
But this is just a simple 2-1-2 press offense. So when the ball goes in, R1's job is to pressure, and their job is to get them going up the sideline and hopefully like in a speed dribble. Now, they have to make sure they can't get behind the ball. We always just talk about getting your head on the ball. And we're pretty much back to the other person. If this is somebody who's a little bit quicker, you might have to lessen your angle a little bit, maybe get a little bit more towards the front. But usually we're playing in between. Right here is our one. You can do that. You can play that a couple of ways. You can, just like we do in the quarter court, if they want to play more passing lane, they can. If they want to bluff and peel back, it's up to the coach.
You teach the I'm going to come up, I'm going to bluff like I'm coming up and come back.
Yeah, we'll go over it and teach it. But a lot of times – we like to put pressure as much as we can. So
you want to pressure the top.
Yeah.
So what causes her not to get beat on the dribble and the turn into the middle?
Everybody's playing on angles. So if she plays behind, a step behind, and she doesn't have her head on the ball, you know, a good point guard might split you. Or the two, this two should be inside. If there's a line going down from the one or from the ball or the one down – the sideline, the two, ball side two should never be outside that line. So they want to be to the inside. So let's say the two is here.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other two is here. If you get beat, one of two things have happened. This girl is playing behind, allowing her to dribble to the middle. Right. And this two should have her, basically her chest, their chest should be facing that ball. So their butt should be basically to this backside corner.
Okay.
So if they're out here playing too flat,
then
she'll just dribble and get ahead of her, and then she'll just split you. You have to – the one and two have to work together to corral her into a 1-2 trap.
Okay.
Okay? So the one's job is to push them down the sideline. The two, everybody now has chest to the ball. Your butt is to the backside.
And is that one of your key – is that a key teaching point for you?
Chest to the ball. We go over it. We go over it basically just saying make sure you're facing the ball. I mean, it's just on the first day, it's just something we go over. We're constantly, you'll hear me pretty much every day in practice talk about angles. You know, maybe it's just the angle of the body. You know, maybe it's the, when the pass gets made, they have to sprint at an angle. Everything is, you'll just hear the word angles quite a bit. So here's what it looks like when somebody has the ball. Okay. Now, what we want them to do is dribble up, and the two can't come out because we want to make that sideline look open. We want that point guard to get into a speed dribble up the sideline. So if the two goes out and plays too flat, they're just taking away the sideline and they're not going to dribble out, you know, to that area. So we want to make that look open and dribble into it. When it gets close in our trapping areas, if you have that spike line, that volleyball line on each side of half court, anything inside that, you know, 16, 20 feet, whatever it is, that's where we want to trap. Whatever the best, you know, I know some coaches might contain, and then when you get across, they might trap. Okay. We're going to get you on either side.
And where do you ideally want to get that first trap?
We want to get it pretty much right in the backcourt, in that corner right here is where we usually get it.
Okay.
And then our three, so if they dribble up and we get into a, let's say this is a 2-1 trap right here. Our three is making the sideline pass look open, but they're being close enough to take it away. So we're going to kind of bait them into throwing that pass.
Okay.
Again, these two are, again, we got short middle, deep middle. Now, I know some boys coaches, they might take this two, and they might play underneath because they don't want to get sealed.
Right.
And then make this pass. We play top side because we will take it. If we think they're going to reverse pivot and make this guard-to-guard pass, we're going to – we call them shooting gaps. We're going to shoot that gap right there. And usually okay. we can – one of the rules we might talk about is a rule of, you know, 2 seconds. You know, if they're in a good trap, we're going to count 1,001, 1,002. This two might release, and then this backside three might kind of come up and kind of help out.
Do you do anything – I mean, do you interchange legs? You talk about the specific trap of how you want that trap to look?
We just take in hands to the ball, mirror the ball, and the trap, just your typical cross your feet.
Okay.
You know, no splits. The main thing is don't let them split you. We don't want two defenders behind the ball.
Okay.
So no splits. Just and, again, one thing that upsets – I'm sure upsets you and upsets me is – when I'll have girls get them in a good trap, and instead of getting the turnover coming out of the trap, they start reaching.
Right.
And they'll get a foul reaching call.
So the back three, does the back three's protection, not the three that's trying to look up the sideline, the back three, the one that's at the top of the key, what's their job? Is their job to protect the rim? Is their job to look middle?
Again, with girls, it's a little bit different. You know, with boys, they might have to be a little bit deeper.
Yeah, because my thought is that pass can come all the way down.
Yes.
Yeah.
With us, if they make this pass, I'm not going to say a whole lot to this person. I'm going to probably take and have a talk with my ones and twos because the trap wasn't good enough. They shouldn't be able to make that pass. But we, as a girls coach, that's one reason why this is, you know, it's very good with boys, but I think it's really good with girls. Because – they might not be able to make that pass, and we can kind of cheat up a little bit with this three. But the backside three has got to be your protector. So with boys, they would probably drop a little bit.
A little bit more. Okay. It's more I always say them low is the lowest because then they can't get behind you and you don't know where they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe boys, maybe with girls, like say we'll go for this.
Yeah.
Guard pass. Maybe with boys, again, you're really protecting the middle of the floor.
Okay.
You know? So now on the
reversal.
What most teams will do is they're going to come up here, and right before they get trapped, they're going to ping pong that thing back over here.
That is the most common thing teams do.
Yep. Yeah. So here's our rules on this. The one, we just tell them to go chase. You can do a couple things. You can have them run at an angle towards the middle of the floor and then come up, or you can just have them just chase across. It's whatever you do. We used to take and just protect the middle. Now I just tell them – you guys just take and go. The one, just go.
Before we jump into this and this rotation, describe the ones. Describe your one. Describe your twos. Describe your threes. Like, what do you want from your one? Like, I'm picking my team. I'm looking at my team right now. Do I want my point guard? Do I want my quick guard? What do I want from those positions? I think that was the hard part. I didn't know where to put people either.
Well, the main thing I think is you have to have multiple people play the one. So it's going to be key that you find maybe two or three people, or like with us, all three of these, all my twos can play the top. It might give us a different look, but they can, because there's going to come a time where your one up here, they have to have a motor on them. They have to be, you know, they have to be quick. They have to be good anticipators.
The Energizer Bunny is what I refer
to.
They're always moving.
But they're going to get tired.
Yes.
So there's going to be times where you have to switch, and that is a call. I will do it sometimes, or my one will basically just tell, like on a dead ball or somewhere, they'll just tell a two to take their spot and they'll just drop. Or maybe if they pick up a quick foul early, they might take and drop and then move.
Do you tell them that they can do that?
They can do that. That's on them. And I trust them to do it, and they do a good job. But there's times where when they come back in the game, you know, I might tell a certain player, you need to be the one.
Okay.
You know, maybe she does a better job of covering the high post in the quarter court or something. So, but they can they're all interchangeable. Usually your one, you want somebody, if you have somebody that's quick, that got some length to them, that's nice to have because they can knock down passes.
You'd want a long, lanky, on top of any press, you want that ideally, but yes.
But Steve, I think the best, I mean, you got to have somebody that's going to have a motor on them is the number one thing that can, you know, it's a good on-ball defender who this girl is not going to take, or this boy is not going to get by them all the time with the dribble. So they have to be a smart defender. Usually that could be anything from a forward, you know, an athletic forward to most likely a guard. You know, your twos, usually they're guards for us. I think most twos for anybody would be their two guards. So that could be your point guards. That could just be one of your guards. It doesn't really matter. They're usually quicker. They have to take and do a good job of covering, you know, side to side, because they're the ones a lot of our traps are going to be the 1-2 traps. We get 2-3 traps, but the majority of your traps are going to be the 1-2 traps. So they have to do a good job of, you know, be able to crowd players and stuff. But usually those are your guards.
So how many 2-3s and how many 1-2 traps, like percentage wise, like 75% are 1-2s?
70-80% of probably our traps are more. I mean, more than the majority are usually 1-2s, because when we reverse the ball, we will try to get a 1-2 trap on this side as well.
And you won't get, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Which we'll go over, but, and then my threes are usually, you're talking your forwards, your post. And usually okay. I'll put my center, my five on the backside. She'll be the right side three, because there's been times where we have rotated back into a 2-3 zone. So that kind of keeps her in the middle.
Okay.
It's just whatever. But usually that's them back there. Can you play a guard back there? Yes. If you have a guard that could take in, who gets scrappy and likes to get rebounds, there's no reason
why. Who draws the most fouls?
I think the one at times, because they're just scrappy up top. They pick up those cheap fouls.
Where do you put somebody you need to protect them? Let's say you have your best player and they've got three fouls and they're your one. Do you move them back?
I move them to a two. Once they pick up, we have a guard right now, an All-State sophomore. She knows, and it's just kind of inbred in her. I mean, she's an aggressive girl. I mean, right. She's smart enough to realize we have to have her out there. She can't get in foul trouble. But if she picks up a quick one early, like in the first minute or two, she knows to switch with one of these, the twos.
Okay.
And they'll move up there, and then she'll just kind of – because – here you're pressuring so much,
and you're on the ball. That's what the officials are watching too.
Yeah. And they'll pick up. She'll try to do a tipper. I mean, she'll just pick up those ticky tack stuff every so often, which drives us nuts. The threes can get in foul trouble because they're down there banging, getting rebounds. They might get an over the back call or something, or push call or call. But so going back, these are our posts. That's ideally what we want to take and do. You might not have the luxury of having some size, so you might have undersized, like say guards and stuff, playing any position just based on the personnel you have that year. But the good thing about that is, I think the quicker you are, this year we have an athletic quick team compared to what we've had the last handful of years, and it's fun watching them because, especially, I've always said the ones and twos, they're the ones that kind of get the defense going. But when you have some good threes who anticipate, they take away sideline, they move, they're flying around a little bit, they're communicating with everybody in front of them. These are the ones that kind of make everything go.
Okay.
That's fun.
So if you had to play all guards, this would be okay.
I think so. I mean, if you play man to man, you're probably going to give up something because they're going to be able to post, isolate somebody inside. Here, at least, we kind of dictate where. What they can do.
Hey, Coach, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. I would ask pretty please go and leave a review. We really do appreciate those. I guess I could go pretty please go join teachhoops.com, become a better basketball coach. Resources, like I've said in previous ones, you go spend, half $500 on a clinic, or you go buy a video or do something like that. You could go spend just $29.99 and have thousands of videos and thousands of things on there to make you a better basketball coach. So go over and check it out. Two other things. If you want to check us, our YouTube channel, Teach Hoops, just type that in, two separate words. And our Amazon link down below. Click on that anytime you purchase. If you bookmark it, you won't even notice it's there, but we get a small little commission, and it does help us pay for the hosting fees and stuff. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
What they can do against us with the zone. But you might take and you might get more being a guard, get more steal, get more deflections.
Right.
Get more.
That's what I was thinking. You might get more deflections. You might get more. Yeah.
Yep. So again, here we got the 1-2 trap. Yep.
And how often do you get the first trap before they flip it? Probably not very often. My guess is they come down and they do that little banana thing over across. Yeah.
They will throw it. Now here's where your twos, because the two is protecting the middle.
Right.
Everybody's running back at an angle, unless your one is just chasing across. The twos have to play tag. Remember that your job is to keep them out of the middle. If this two comes out too early, they're going to go right down the gut and throw it to the middle of the press. So this two, right when that ball goes over their head, she is sprinting back to the middle where this two is waiting. Once she gets back, here comes this one. The threes are on a string.
Right.
They're going. Once they come close together, close enough where they can kind of, again, they're playing tag.
Are they close enough they can touch?
I think it depends on who your twos are.
Okay.
You know,
because you could almost use a terminology like you do with switching screens, talk, touch, take.
You can, yeah. And a lot of times teams do it.
Yeah.
Well, we know this girl usually is quick. So we'll take, and when we know she's close enough, you know, if they want to throw this pass, she'll probably get a deflection so they can leave a little bit early.
Okay.
But they have to protect the middle. They can't let the ball go down the middle. And if it happens to, then they're, again, trying to get a tip.
They'll leave too early from me trying it this year. It's like, they'll leave too early. That's why we went to our talk, touch, take thing that we use in switching just because then it was like, all right, you got to talk that it's happening. You should be close enough that you can touch because then that makes them, you know that they're not. Yeah. And here's where angles really come into play.
Yes, it is. And one of the rules, some of the different terminology, I know Lauren Wallace, a lot of coaches, ball press coaches use it, but Lauren Wallace or Quincy back in the 90s always use it where, you know, ball goes, you go. So when that ball goes, you go towards it. Again, we don't go to the ball. The ball comes to us. The three, you know, ball come, you come. Okay, so there's a little bit of those little phrases you can take and add in there. But here, this is what I like about the 1-2-2, the ball press is over here you had a trap that was coming from, they see it coming up.
Right.
But here, when they start getting the speed dribble, the two's job is you have to, again, work your angles, keep them to the side, but that one is pursuing behind. And then right, usually, when we get across half court or somewhere around half court, that two will turn them, and here comes that one, and we get one of those blind traps from behind. So in our rule is we usually try to – any dribble across half court is a 1-2 trap. Any pass across half court is a 2-3 trap. So that one is pursuing, you know.
Say that again. So if you dribble over half court, it's a 1-2. One is in the 2's trap. If you pass, it's a 2-3.
It's a 2-3.
Okay.
So like right there, when they reversed it, that 2's job is to keep that ball handler on the side. And then when they get into that trap area, they're going to take that one, should be pursuing, and then they will take and turn right back into, it's kind of like a run and jump, like
right.
when you see numbers or something, you take and go, same type of trap. So now we'll take and get that.
What percent do you see the pass over and then one more pass back? Not very often.
No. And what we'll do is, like the press offense, we run like a trick. Well, it's almost like a diamond look, like a 1-3-1 look. And we'll tell our one, hey, they might ping pong, you know, they got to get to half court sometime. So just kind of bluff and peel back, stay in that middle third, don't wear yourself out. And once they start getting to our trapping areas, we're just going to take and just rush them and get a trap then. But so here's a good trap right there. And again, three's taking away the sideline. Everybody's rotated over. If they dive, you know, if they happen to dive somebody, the three can kind of come up and help. Two comes with them. Now, if they take and dribble here, but let's say they pass it ahead to a somebody in the corner.
Right.
Then, again, two follows, and here's where your 3-2 trap, your 2-3 trap comes about.
So three's got to get the right angle on that one, too.
Three's got to keep – their job is to keep them on the sideline. So don't give – you know, don't come play flat where they go middle. So their job is they're doing this. Again, the three is coming over. If they dive somebody, the three's got to meet them at the elbow with a forearm in the chest. So the three has to meet them, usually about that elbow area. And then again, the two and the one are rotating. The two is dropping back, and the one is dropping back towards the middle of the floor.
Okay. And that's your normal drops. Anytime that you go 1-2-2. Three-quarter.
I've had coaches say, okay, what happens if this is if you get a 2-3 trap way up here and they throw like to a corner here.
Right.
A lot of coaches, Ryan Weber, who's up at the Quad Cities, probably one of the best ball press coaches, he calls an X cut. So the threes, they'll take in. So they throw here, they'll come out, they'll X here. This two will come over until that three drops back, and then they'll bump back okay. there. So this extra pass to the corner, that's how they call that an X cut. But I got that from Ryan Weber.
And that doesn't happen. How often does that happen?
It doesn't with us a whole lot at all.
Okay.
You know, at all. And if that ever happens, we might back it up a little bit because, you know, I tell my threes, don't come up here and trap. Maybe okay. they just show and then peel back or something.
Okay.
We don't want to give up that a whole lot. So that is pretty much.
And you, when you run it half court, do you do it? Is it similar?
Yes. So in the half court, we will take, again, here's our ones, twos, threes. So it's the same thing. So instead of trapping up here, we're going to trap. Here's our trapping areas.
Okay.
So we're going to do the same thing, force into the sideline. And when they come across, we're going to do a 1-2 trap here. Three's going to take away the first pass. Other three takes away deep middle.
Do you disguise it? Do you disguise it? Or everyone knows you're doing it.
No, but the only good thing about it is it just gives you a different look. You're running the same rotations, but just by dropping it to different areas on the floor, it's almost like you're running
a different
something press. Different.
Yeah.
And we've had teams that do a good job passing. They don't turn the ball over because maybe they pass. You know, we like teams that like to try to dribble through our press, and we'll speed them up too. But if teams are real good about moving,
well, if I was playing you, I would say no dribbles ever.
Yeah, they'll just sprint. So what we'll do sometimes, and maybe they put somebody here, so we'll drop it back to this, just because I tell my players it shrinks the floor. There's less, less areas for them to take and pass through things like that.
Okay. No, that's great. That's.
That's the that's pretty much the rotations. I'm sure I missed probably something or a good.
No, that's perfect. Point, that's that. I'm just making sure I'm doing it right.
A whole lot of the whole time here, so.
No, I that's perfect. That's I just making sure. I was doing my rotations right when I go back and look at my film. So everything was good on rotations. So how do you break it down then? So let's talk drills and stuff that we break.
Okay. Now going back to that, and I know I went over. I think one time I went over this with you, which is that 5-on-5 shell, which we'll do like the first day where you try to get so much done in like 45 seconds. Do you want me to quickly go over that?
Yeah, go over that. I don't remember that.
Okay, we'll see. Hopefully.
We'll see if the old guy remembers. So you're going 5-on-5.
It is 5-on-5.
Now, how many girls do you have on your
we have around 20. That's just JV. We don't have a freshman team, so basically freshmen through seniors.
Do you have three colors or four colors going at the same time or just two colors?
Just usually two. Okay. Just usually two on this.
I found a place that makes reversibles that have three colors.
I've seen that.
Have you seen it?
But to me, it just seems like is it too thick or is it okay?
I don't know. I tried to get it. I tried to get one to see it, but they're shut down right now. So
I'll let you know when that
would be like life changing to me. Like,
oh, it's nice. Now we have black, cut off, dry fit shirts that we wear. So we can give another team, we can tell them to wear those for the day with the jersey over and they can just take those off.
Yeah.
Especially the girls. But so this is a 5-on-5 drill.
And you do this right away.
This is something we probably start doing over the last couple of years on the first day of practice, just to show them the rotations of the and where we're going to trap with the 1-2-2 with the ball press.
Okay.
Then every so often we might, once you get in the season, you don't have to run it as often, or it's just whatever you want to do. But this is something I'd probably start showing at least definitely the first day. If something happens, we can't. Then definitely by the second day. Now I'm not going to take in.
Yeah.
If you can see, I'm going to just keep the players the same spot. Yeah. I'm just going to talk about like where the traps are and what they're doing.
Yep.
To kind of give you the idea or give
the coach the idea. So you call this 5-on-5?
This 5-on-5 full court shell.
Okay.
And this basically lets us know where the traps are. You know, where do we get our 1-2 traps? Where do we get our 2-3 traps on a long skip? How do we cover it?
So they don't move. Like the offense doesn't move.
No. The offense, the only person that moves is the middle person. We will have them dive only when there's a 2-3 trap. Only when the ball crosses half court will they take in.
Okay.
They will dive because the backside three has got to take and meet them towards that elbow.
I like that shell part. That's what we should have. We didn't. Yeah, we did this, but we didn't do it very much. We should have done it more. Okay.
So this is the only time when I throw the ball in.
You have six offensive players, right?
Well, just me, just a coach. That's a C for coach.
Oh, okay.
I only throw it to get it going.
Okay.
So like right now, everybody would be in the middle third.
Okay.
Once I to start the drill, I throw it here.
Yep.
And then I'm there done. I'm out. These people stay the same. These two can dribble a little bit. And our rules are the twos play 15 feet from the one, the threes play 15 feet from the two. So if the one happens to move up, the twos have to move up, and then the threes move up.
Threes move up. Okay.
Okay. So on this, all we do is once they have the ball, we pressure. So everybody shifts over like we did earlier.
Yep.
So the one, everybody shifts over, five on the side. Their job is they ping pong it over here. Everybody.
Do you make them hold it on offense for a specific amount of time?
You can for a second or so if you want. Yeah, a second or so.
Because I can see what would happen with this. Yeah.
Like any type of shell.
Any type of shell.
They might hold it for a two count or something. But their job is to work on air time, and that's one of the keys. You know, not only do you run at angles, but you have to move on air time. If you wait till the other person catches it, it's too late. So right when that leaves their hands and goes over here, we are sprinting to our position. Then we take and bring it back. So now we sprint back to the original position.
Okay.
Then once they get it, we let them, the guard knows to dribble it into a 1-2 trap. Then they'll take and once we get them 1-2 trap, and in this drill, there's no over and backs, there's no double dribbles. So once we get them into 1-2 trap, they will drag that dribble back. The one goes with them. And then again, the twos and the threes play off that 15 feet. So if that girl dribbles all the way back here and that one goes with her, the twos move up, the threes move up.
Okay.
Okay. It's just the whole spacing concept. Okay. So again, we dribble into a 1-2 trap. We drag it back to this spot right here. She throws it over here. Again, everyone rotates. They dribble into a 1-2 trap. They drag it back. Everybody shifts back. They throw it back over. So everything starts with this girl right here.
Okay.
She now takes and throws across half court, and we sprint into a 2-3 trap. Okay. Now, again, there's no over and backs here.
Right.
So once we rotate, everyone rotates for that 2-3 trap. She throws it back. We drag it back. Everyone, again, move. Spacing. Throw it over here. Same thing.
She catches
it, pitches it ahead. We get into a 2-3 trap.
Okay.
Now, one thing on the 2-3 trap, if you want that three to catch it, she can always catch it and then just throw it to the person, hand it to the person, and then get into a trap, just so you get to the mentality of picking it off.
Yep.
Okay, so, again, we do the same thing here. Then we take and dribble into a 1-2 trap. Then we pitch it ahead and then into a 2-3 trap. Throw it ahead to a 2-3 trap. Throw it back, drag it back, same thing. Dribble into a 1-2 trap, throw into a 2-3 trap. Take it back over here. And the last thing we do once we get back to this position is we will make that long diagonal pass. And there the job of the three is, we don't trap long passes. They see it coming. It's just not going to be, you're not going to get anything from it. So the three will take it while that two is sprinting back. And once the two gets there, the three, and again, everyone rotates. Three's out, the three's over. The backside two rotates back. The one drops. But when that two gets over there, she'll bump that three back. And then we're back into our quarter court.
Okay.
And that's a good conditioner. You can do that.
And you do that for 45 seconds.
45 seconds. Again, you have to have good girls here because these two are the ones that control the whole thing.
Right.
These two offensive players. They gotta know what's kind of going on. And I'm usually telling them what to do. With boys, it could be 40 or less maybe. And you can get it done. If they're working hard enough, you can get it done. And if any time, let's say the ball happens to go, let's say we throw it from here to here because it's open or something in this drill, which you could, because they're not playing tag, then you can start them over if you want. So you can make it a real, it's a good, they have to be booking, they have to be moving, and or they take a start
over. I love that. And that would work again. That would work with anything. Like even if you were doing a diamond in one or you're doing my 1-3 one, I love that.
But again, it just introduces, the 1-2 traps, the 2-3 traps, where we rotate, who's taking one, who's covering middle, playing tag. you know, spring on air time. It covers everything.
I don't care what people say. Shell is still one of the best drills ever. Like, I know there's a movement for all of Shell. Sometimes you just have to teach them what to, you know, it's first hour. Go to first hour. It's room 752, you know. You just need to stand here. Like, get in line. Like, you know, sometimes you just, I mean, I'm serious. Like, and I think we skipped that a little bit too much when we were putting it in. And I think, anyway, we got better at it. But
now we will take, now usually on the first day, we will do that.
Okay.
Then we're going to usually do our quarter court drills. Cause that's where, I mean, it's like any type of defense. You're going to spend the majority
of time. Here, move the camera over so I can see is that the progression on the side?
This is just another one. Yes, over here.
Yeah. Move it up so I can see the. Okay, so we did.
You did. We've done this.
We did this. Okay, yeah. So do you go? So this is why I'm going to ask. So do you do all the? Do you do?
No.
Okay.
We usually do on day one. We'll do that drill, the 5-on-5 shell, and then we'll do pretty much these right here.
Most
we'll do our
of those.
Our half. These are more of our quarter court.
And you do most of your quarter court for a longer period of time to make sure you get it?
We will do the 3-on-4. Usually these are maybe, let's say, 8-minute drills, 8 to 10 minute drills,
okay,
maybe. And then, and what we do is, like, with these two, I'm usually taking, these are for the ones and twos in the quarter court.
Yep.
So I'm doing those on one end while my assistant is doing the figure eight drill with the threes on the other end.
Okay.
So they're kind of getting done at the same time in about 10 or so minutes.
Okay.
And then the 5-on-8 shell drill is all you do is just take those drills and you put it together for the 5-on-8 shell drill.
Okay. Okay. So, all right, good. Let's go back to this then. That's
okay.
Yeah. That's where I need work on is the progression of the breakdown, I think.
Got it.
Okay.
So, but I'm going to go ahead and just go over the real quickly, the 3-quarter court drills.
Yeah.
And then we'll do those.
Yeah.
And I'll just try to, but this is a 3-on-3, ones and twos. So this kind of works on your 1-2 trap. So I'm just going to, since we've already went over the different trapping
stuff. Yeah, we don't need to do that. I just want to know what
so
it is.
So on this is, you know, our one can deny this.
Yeah.
But once the ball goes in, you know, this person might
teach,
come over
do
here.
Do you teach your one different reads or when you're doing these breakdowns or you let them figure out the reads?
A lot of times we let them figure it out. But, you know, but we tell them, you know, if they have a one guard front, like on a press breaker, instead of just staying right there, if you want to go deny it, you can deny it all you want. It doesn't matter. But here.
So how tall are the girls you're playing? So let's say I have a 6-foot.
Can you hear me okay?
No, I got it. That was me.
Okay, did you?
That was me because I was drinking some water and I forgot to turn my mic back on. Sorry. So let's say I've got a 6'1 girl. I'm just going to put her at the free throw line and just throw it to her. And then turn and we're going to go.
We could take and deny it. We'll take and maybe.
Okay.
We might face guard her because if they throw over top, we got our twos maybe cheating up or something. So we might do something
Has that happened to you?
No.
Okay.
No. Nope. But our main thing is if we're going to take and deny it, we're going to try to push them out here and have them catch it out on the side. So once the ball gets in, the inbounder basically just becomes a 2-guard front.
Right.
And then we basically just play it 3-on-3. So what we're trying to do is get them in the speed dribble and get a 1-2 trap here. If they happen to throw over here, we are sprinting. The middle girl on offense cannot leave the center circle because we have no one back. So, you know, it's trying to cheat the drill. But if they happen to ping pong it over across, then everybody's sprinting out, and we're going to try to get another trap on the other side.
Okay.
So here's one. This we might run where you have to get 3 stops.
Okay.
Once you get 3 stops, we sub somebody out. And, you know, if you're having a bad day and kind of want to make it real hard is, you know, if somehow they take and – you know, and a stop would be like a good trap, a steal, whatever. You know, something happens, you don't get a good trap, something, you can start it over and they start with 0.
Right.
You don't go back to 1 or something. But we'll do that. So that's 3-on-3 in the top of the press. Eventually what we'll do is we'll put our threes back here and this becomes our 5-on-4. So now we'll put one person back. So we have 4 on offense, 5 on defense. We have all 5 defenders on defense. So now we have an outlet up the sideline. So we're doing the same thing up front, but now if they want to throw across, we're going to work on our 2-3.
Do you have the offense go side to side or stay stationary?
This person, nope, they can take and go anywhere they want.
Okay.
And if they catch it on here, you know, if they catch it here, this middle person could dive because now
You got everybody out three, there. But can the offensive person move forward? The center circle person has to stay there in the center.
They have to stay there. The only time – so like even in the first drill and here, they have to stay in the center.
Okay.
The only time they can move. Now, if they want to stay – they want to move around a little bit in the center circle. They
no, can. No, that's good. But I think that why I like that is I think everyone's teaching go to the middle. Go to – like
yeah.
If I'm breaking it, I'm saying cut to the middle. Go to the middle. So you don't want that person to cheat the drill.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that.
So that's our 5-on-4. So we start off with our ones and twos
on our
3-on-3, and then we'll do 5-on-4, where now you're working a little bit of 2-3 trap.
Okay.
And then we'll do a drill called our 10-4 drill. Again, this is a Quincy drill, a Quincy, Illinois, Lauren Wallace drill. So 10-4 is, it's basically a scrimmage session. The defense is constantly on defense. The offense is playing offense.
Okay.
Okay, so the it's called 10-4 because the defense has to get 10 points before the offense gets 4. A point on defense is anytime you get a deflection, it's a point.
Right.
Anytime you get a steal, it's a point.
Okay.
If they turn the ball over, it's a point. You know, if they travel, throw the ball out of bounds, again, it's a point. If you get a steal and then you get a layup, you get 2 points. So there's different ways to get your points.
Right.
The offense gets 4 points. I mean, you can play at ones and twos, twos and three, whatever you want to do.
Right.
But the defense has to take in it. It makes them take and get a little bit aggressive. So, you know, we'll come down, and let's say we get a steal, we pitch it ahead, okay, and then right when the ball goes in, let's say we got 2 points for the defense, the offense quickly takes it out, and they start going again.
Okay. So yep. you're telling the offense, go.
Yeah, and usually with the, and we'll do this maybe on the second day or so, and I'll tell my offense. At that time, we haven't really went over our press offense. So I'll say, I care less what you're doing on offense.
Right.
You guys just take in.
Go. I think the point to the listeners is you're giving points to what you want to have happen.
Yes.
No matter when you. Yeah, whatever you do, every drill I've ever done, it's like we rebound pretty well in the offensive glass because all the drills we do, mm-hmm. I reward people taking charges. I reward offense rebounds.
So
you're rewarding the offense to go. Like, I'm going to give you more points if you go.
And if you want to give – one of the things we do on the offensive end is, you know, if they get an offensive board, we give them 2 points. So they can get –
Okay. So why is it called 10-4? Why is it called 10-4?
10-4 because the defense is trying to get 10 points before the offense gets 4.
4. Okay.
So, again, the defense, it's – so, you know, I'll tell them the easiest way to get points is deflections. So just by being aggressive, getting your hands up, you might get a tip. They might get – the offense might still get the ball, but at least you give your point – at least you get a point up on the board.
Yeah, like that. Okay.
But we'll play it out. So once they break the press, then we go into like our quarter court. So they're basically – you know, the offense is running whatever they want to do on offense, but the play doesn't stop until once we get a defensive board, we stop, we go the other way. We just throw out of bounds. We get back protecting the other basket.
Right.
And we just – it's just continuous.
I love that the defense just stays too because then you can work on rotations and like that.
But, Coach, if you happen to get a steal or something in the half court, we play it. But once you get the steal and you transition down – so let's say I get a steal, 1-2 trap, I get a steal. If you miss the layup, you only get one chance at a putback. So if somebody gets a rebound and puts it back and misses it, it's done. If the other team gets the ball, going the other way again. But if you get a putback, and that just kind of teaches your girls to sprint and fall, you know, follow the shot type thing.
I like that. I like that.
That's the 10-4 drill. We'll do a drill called offense to defensive transition where I'll have – can you see this okay?
I can.
Okay, I'll put like 5 players.
Yep.
Okay, and then I will take and the team that's going to be on defense, they just go down. They just transition down 5-on-0 like dummy offense.
Right.
You can work whatever offense. Just work on your transition game, work on your offense. And then –
So it's 5-on-0. It's 5-on-0.
5-on-0. And then once they take and shoot, so I tell them, you know, maybe after about 3 or 4 passes, somebody's got to take a shot.
Okay.
But once that leaves their hand, the coach is right here with the ball. They're going to throw it to one of these girls that's on the baseline.
Okay.
And the team that was on offense, run their dummy offense, have to sprint back, and now we're kind of working on our presses off of misses.
I like that. Is that the best way you found to do it off misses? Because that's not an easy thing to practice.
Scrimmage, really. Just we scrimmage quite a bit, so really that's where we take.
Scrimmage is good, too. Okay, okay.
And when some of the quick key teaching points with off misses, I'm sure coaches, usually when they ask me, like, you know, what are some of the things you talk about with misses?
Yeah.
We tell our one to slow down the ball. So on a miss, our one knows, like when we miss a shot, our one knows their job is to slow down the ball, giving everybody else a chance to get back. All four other players are sprinting through the middle of the floor. The twos, so let's say the one picks up
the ball. Okay, so before we do that, so I think that's a good point to make is – like the you are our first line of defense because everyone else is running for cover at this point. You have to stop the enemy and slow them. You don't have to stop them. You just have to slow them. I love that because that I think that's what you sell to your one too. It's like you are the most important person on a miss because you have to slow us.
Yeah. Just buy your team an extra second or two to get back.
Right. That's all it takes is the setup. Yeah.
And we don't designate, you know, some coaches will designate like what they call halfbacks or fullbacks or something, you know. We just tell our twos, the twos have to get back as deep as they have to, you know. So if somebody, if they have the ball, but let's say somebody sprints their floor and they're here, the twos might have to get back here.
Right.
And but when the threes, when they're sprinting back to the middle, because again, we want to keep on the side, so everybody has to sprint back to the middle. Once those threes get close enough or start getting by them, then the twos start moving up, and then we'll start getting into – where, you know, it might be off a miss, it might be a three-quarter court press, it might be a half court, it's wherever we can get into it the quickest.
Okay.
But the twos cannot – one thing that the girls know, it upsets me, is here comes the ball, and this two will help up, and they'll leave that pass over top for a let, you know, get back when the threes get behind you, then start moving up a little bit.
So your twos, but, your twos are getting back and protecting the village, basically.
So the two, you know, the twos are kind of like your – they're kind of like your halfbacks, your fullbacks, until the threes get by them. Then they start moving up a little bit. But
they tend to be more guards, so they're quicker. They're probably quicker and faster. I love that. Okay, that's a great point. I love that.
Teams that like to run on you, you know, the quicker you get back in your press.
Hey, coach. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. A couple things that doesn't cost you a cent to do. You can subscribe and like, leave a written review. We really like that. You can go over to our YouTube channel. Just type in T-Tubes on YouTube, and you'll find our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like there, so you'll always get the updates. Next thing is if you do any shopping on Amazon, go down below, click our Amazon link, www.ttubes.com/Amazon. Anytime you're doing shopping on Amazon, we get a small little commission. Helps us with our hosting fees. Be surprised how expensive it is to run one of these. And if you really love this stuff, you know, let me help you. Let me mentor you. Let me email. Let me get on one calls. Let me show you all the resources that will help me become one of the winningest coaches in the state of Wisconsin. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I want to help coaches become better. So ttubes.com can do that. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Eventually, after a few possessions, they almost quit running. I mean, it's almost like they just come to a standstill. And then it becomes just, you know, they just – again,
there's no easy way. I haven't seen it. If anybody's got it, it's like that's a hard scrimmage tends to be the best way to do that transition.
It is. It is just getting their legs conditioned.
It's so hard to do it on a miss. It's easy because they're taking it out of bounds and you can simulate it. That's a hard thing to simulate. But I like that. That's a great idea. Like, well, we'll just go 5-on-0. Maybe we'll work on our quick hitters or our plays or something. Mm-hmm. 1-2 passes, take a shot, and then I like that. Yeah.
And we'll do like the 10-4 drill. We'll do like a 4-minute scrimmage, and we'll keep score offense and defense. So it's kind of like a 10-4 drill by the way you're keeping track of your points.
Right.
But it's a constant scrimmage. So the defense isn't on defense the whole time. They're converting offense to defense, but we'll give them the same point value and stuff for 4 minutes. Something else we do in the half court.
What's the figure eight thing? Wasn't there a figure eight thing with the bigs?
So – that's what we just went over. What we just went over was more of like the three-quarter court drills.
Okay.
So like I said, on day one, we might do the 5-on-5 shell.
Right.
Day two, three, we might do these 3-on-3, 5-on-4, 10-4 drills, those. Okay, but the majority of your half court or majority of the game is going to be played in the quarter court because they only got 10 seconds to get across.
Right.
You're not going to get a steal every time.
Right.
So everything's going to be played here. So the Steve, I'm going to quickly do the 3-on-4 drill first.
Yeah, okay.
So the guards,
and that's the quarter court one, right? Is that three court?
Yeah. So while I'm doing this, the three on four down here with my guard, my ones and twos, my JV coach is doing the figure eight at the other end.
Okay.
Like, so this is just shell drill, like you said.
Yep.
This is 3-on-4. Yeah, 3-on-4. So what they're doing is just working. Where do they go based on the ball in the quarter court? So again, when the ball's up top, our one is pressuring. If you want the one to get to a side and start working on pushing them over, you can. But usually we just play them straight up at times. The twos are we always talk, make sure you protect inside out. You know, so don't be way out here, you know, out wide where you're going to give up this pass right here. We play where these guys, you know, they got their hands and they're almost, I wouldn't say they're almost touching, but if they make this pass, they're close enough together they can get a tip on it. When the pass gets, so they're protecting the high post. When the pass goes to the wing, the two on air time, the two is taking it. And we tell them belly button to the sideline. I mean, we don't play top side or low side. We play straight up parallel to the sideline. Okay. So we have on that pass, the two takes it. Our one is a sprint, and they are setting up shop right there above the elbow with their inside hand. So if a team has a mid post there, they're going to have their right hand, their low hand, their bottom hand is going to be basically in the gut of that player right there.
Okay. Yep.
Because we don't want to front them. We want to just get, because if we read this pass and they throw this ball back up top, we might be able to shoot this gap right here for a steal. Right. So the one is going to be right here. The backside two, they drop a little bit. They don't drop all the way down because there's going to be a three kind of at the rim right. line or so, but they just drop a few feet down with their back, their butt to that backside corner. Again, when they pass it back up, she's sprinting in. She's going up. And what we call this a J move, where we might have them take a step to the middle of the floor and then just kind of, again, work on our angles again. Just take away maybe that little move right there they might not throw that pass to the high post. Okay, and then again the two comes up. Same thing.
And that's where they're looking. They're looking at the high post too, aren't yep. they?
And if they see it, they throw it. We're always looking in. So that high post player just moves side to side there about that mid post area, and we have to protect it. So that's all it is basically working the ones and twos. When the ball goes to the wing, the two sprints out. The one sprints down to the high post. The backside two drops. And
you have to work on this all the time because most of the time it's in this part of the court more than the full.
Yes. Yes. So that's our 3-on-4.
Right.
Then what we'll do sometimes is we'll take and put a two guard front out here.
Which is what most people do versus an odd zone.
Yep. And then we'll just, now the one there will play kind of like they do in the press part. They'll play in between.
Okay.
Our twos now, it's almost like you've taken your court and turned it. So if here's your high post, the twos are a little bit, this one's maybe a step out. This one's a step here. They're still protecting here, but they're kind of angled different on this. So, again, if the pass gets made, again, they'll come over. She'll move over. She'll take middle. If they bobble it, we can come up and we can work on our 1-2 traps. So if they're in a 1-2 trap here, we know the two has to protect middle. If the ball goes to the corner, then the two has to play. You know, in a real game, this would be a 3 out here. This would be a 2-3 trap.
Right.
So the two plays top. The two does play top side there because they have to imagine a 3 being out there.
The 3 being there. Okay. Yep.
And then, the 1 would drop. Backside 2 would then drop a little bit deeper on the backside.
And how long are these drills?
We will go for – we can do it for touches. You know, we might say, okay, if you get a deflection, you know, after 2 or 3 deflections, you're out. Or it could be just for – have them reverse the ball a couple times, you know.
Do the
three
do
sides
the,
of the floor.
What do you do with the threes then?
They are doing the figure eight drill. They're on the other end.
Yeah. Okay. And what's that?
Okay. So on
that's why I wasn't working with. I did that one. I did that drill with my guys, but
okay.
I didn't work.
So the figure eight.
Now again, I can't see I can't see quite the bottom of those little.
I'll move that.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah,
yep.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
So. We've done it where we have the wings. We've done it where we do not. I'm going to put the wings in here for now, though.
Okay.
So when the ball's up top, they are dead fronting. The threes are dead fronting the –
So we're normally in a 1-2-2. So the one is at the top of the key. The two's the elbows. Okay.
You're doing the same thing, but – yep.
Yes.
So, again, no ones, no twos, just the threes. When the ball goes to the wing, this three takes a step up and out right there. This three, the backside three, is pretty much rim line.
Okay, so where would the twos and ones be?
Twos right now, this would be a two.
Yep.
This would be a one. And the backside twos just dropped a little bit, just like that.
Perfect. I'm just trying to get a sense of where they'd be. Okay.
Yep. So the threes here, but they're a step up and out.
Yep.
Just so they're that much closer to maybe a shooter in the corner. When that ball goes there, they banana cut. They take away that baseline.
Okay.
And then this three, here's your figure eight. This three goes on airtime. They go low side and they lead with this. So here they would have their left hand out and they would X step through in front. So they're going to try to maybe reach around with their low hand, their low arm. So because a lot of times once or twice a game, they'll think that looks open and they'll try to make that pass in there. And this person will come from behind the bottom side and they'll get a deflection and get a steal. But if they don't get, so what they'll do is they'll lead with that low hand and then almost like you're like three quarter on the low side.
Right.
But then you take and step through and then we dead front. We dead front that. And then when the ball goes back out, she goes over top, back to her spot. This person sprints back in. And again, if you look at it, it's kind of like running a figure eight. But the key point is they have to take and they go low side.
You have to front the ball.
Yep.
But
they have to go low side. If they try to fight over top high side,
you're done. You're sealed.
The post player's going to seal you. They're going to ride you up that lane line. So we go low side. Plus, if you go low side, you have that one that's kind of
right
towards that mid post, so they can kind of help a little bit. But so that's what it is. So basically,
for anybody that's going to do any sort of trapping, you got to front that low block always.
Yep. And there's
high school kids horrible making that pass anyway. So don't even worry about the lob. People worry about the lob too much. You know how many good lobs I've seen in 30 years? Like six.
And like right here,
like, if you think about it,
if this three's fronting, that backside two, the deeper the ball to the corner, the deeper the two has to rotate.
Right, but how many times can that person, if three is giving any ball pressure in the corner, make the pass to the lob?
And there's your – that's your key.
If they
make that pass, that's on that three. That girl is not putting enough pressure
on that corner. If you front a low block in anything like this, I mean – now, if you got a 6'11 future NBA star, okay. But very few people can make that pass effectively.
And then when they throw that pass back out, they have to, again, fight over top.
Yeah.
Again, they go back to their spot. They come back in, step off and up.
I love that.
Again, same thing. Ball goes over here. They go out. They go underneath. So they're running like a figure eight.
I like the name, too, because it kind of shows them what you're doing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then to make it simple, the 5-on-8 –
shell. So you're doing that figure eight while your other coach is doing the figure eight. What are you doing then?
I'm doing that 3-on-3. I'm doing that guard one.
You're doing the guard one.
We just went over.
I'm trying to sense my practice. So in a practice thing, that would be 5 minutes total. You don't need to switch.
Now, if you have girls that take and can play both, you know, we do have some threes that can play.
Oh, yeah, that's two. That's true.
But you can do is on day one, wherever you think they're going to play the most, have them do it on day one. I'd have them go there, you know, for a three or two. But the next day you might say, hey, you might tell your coach, get this person in the first 30 seconds.
And then go grab them.
And then go the other side or something. Okay. But like on day one, I'd say that's probably going to take about 10 or so minutes the first day or so. But once you get going, then
Are you doing that in January? Are you doing all this stuff in January?
No. Because you'll see. Because on the next drill, Steve, we put it all together. So we go, we have eight offensive players against our five defensive players. So we're going 5-on-8.
Okay.
So this, all you're doing, this is the same thing you just did. It's just you're putting it all together.
But that you're doing in January.
Yes. We do a lot of this stuff for like even scouting reports.
Okay.
You know, because if we're going to play a team that shoots a lot of threes.
Right.
We might.
In the corner, yeah.
You have to make sure you cover this. You know, if they get a good look three off, we give the offense a point. If it goes in, we give them two. So, and then we take in, you know, blue rotates off, white rotates on, and whoever has the lowest score wins at the end, you know.
Okay.
So we do a lot of stuff out of this 5-on-8, but this is the same thing you just saw, except for we're just putting everybody together. So these guys are running their figure eight like they did. These guys are running that 3-on-4 or 3-on-5 drill. But we're just put together. So after that first week or so, you don't even have to do those first few drills.
Okay.
This would be where you'd want to start probably.
Okay.
Right here.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is just like say 5-on-8. Eventually, you know, it's kind of like a shell with you can have them stationary if you want to have them. If you want to work the dribble drive, now every couple passes, they work on trying to get into a gap.
Okay.
It's whatever, you know.
Yep.
So that's the 5-on-8 drill. Eventually, we'll play it live. We'll play 5-on-6, so we'll just get the offense six players. The person inside can move around anywhere they want. There's no 3 seconds. They can flash. They can go short corner, and we'll just play it live.
Okay.
5-on-6.
Do you is there a specific what offense do you run?
We run motion against anything.
Okay, and do you think that works with this? I mean, is there a reason you're running that offense with this defense is my question.
No, it's just something we've always – I'll tell you this, though. I think when it comes to – with us being aggressive in the full ball press
– that was my question is you're – it sounds like you're very aggressive the entire game.
It complements, yes. I mean, we transition our – we have – one of our pillars is attack mentality. Okay. So on defense, we're trying to be disruptive, attack you. You know, same thing offensively. We're not. So it's not like we're going to try to speed you up and stuff in the defensive side, and we're going to be slow and you know.
No, so if I'm open and I'm a shooter, you're going to say, "Okay, shoot it." You don't care if it's 5 seconds into the offense.
I don't want to say we run a Grinnell style where we just shoot up something, but it depending on who it is and. You know,
but it's not slow. It's not like you coming down and trying to – okay.
No. But we try to be disciplined where, you know, if we can get that same shot after 3 or 4 passes, but in those 3 or 4 passes we might get a better shot, like a great, you know, a layup.
Right.
You know, we'll do them. But, again, a lot of it depends on
– So what I'm trying to get to is that your offensive possessions are relative faster than probably the teams that you play.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the shot clock. We would probably – if we had a shot clock in Missouri, that shot clock would probably never go off when we're playing on us.
I know. Okay. I mean, I'm just thinking for coaches that are listening, it's like don't run flex and make 35 pass. You could run flex. Flex is fine.
But like my former coach, he runs flex and he runs ball press, but his ball press is more of a contain. It's not as aggressive.
Yes.
So, you know, he don't mind his scores being in the 40s and stuff. We usually score somewhere in the to mid to upper 60s with the girls.
So what I'm saying to the listeners or the coaches too is if you're going to run this, at least as one of your counters, you're not going to come down and run Carolina's four corners. Like
it's
counter, then don't do it because it's like you're either picking up the pace or you're not picking up the pace.
Yeah, we're big on points per possession. We're looking for
try
to get deflections. So we're trying to play it a faster pace, but not one of those.
So that's where I think picking an offense is important too. It's like, it doesn't have to be motion. It could be dribble drive. There's lots of offenses that would work with this. There's probably very few that won't because most don't tend to be the more slow, blocker mover. I mean, of those tend to be a little bit more.
But the good thing, like I said at the beginning, the good thing about this defense is it's a tempo control. You can choose whatever type of tempo you want to play at. And same thing with your offense. Your offense can complement this.
So go back and zoom it out a little bit. I want to say, let's say you want to do that press so you can get to full court. So I can see, I can't see the top. You got to move it up a little. My bad. I just want to see the top. There you go. So I can see the whole court. So show me how I would run this if I'm up 3 with 7 seconds to go. And I just want to slow you down.
Okay. We just call contain up 3, if you're up, with a minute or so left, up 6, we might just say, hey, clock is our friend right now. We just want to take and run clock off so we'll do the same thing.
So what roles do you give the girls that are different?
We just take and their job is we don't want to trap. We just want to, that's going to be where we do more of that bluff and peel back.
Okay.
If they want to make those passes, do so. We don't care.
Right. But
the last thing I want to do is get in a trap and they split us and now we're.
Put a couple of people on up there with one. So what you're saying, one should go at. This is what I do with my guys too. One would go at that offensive player, and then might not even get that close. Might bluff it and then peel back.
Yeah, yeah. She can take and peel back and keep them off balance. They might take and peel back.
Yeah.
So we don't want any 1-2 traps. We don't want any 2-3 traps. We just want to make them make an extra pass or two. So I'll just yell blue, and I'll just say, "Hey, we're contain," and then they just know to bluff, peel back, bluff.
What I've said is too is like if you bluff and peel back, that pass from guard to guard is scary at the end of a game. Like they're not if you fake like you're going to trap, they don't know if you're going to trap or not. You're the only one that knows you're going to trap.
Yep.
That peel back is you call contain. I like that.
We just call it contain. We're just making them
keep them in front of you. Yeah.
Don't let them score in the first 10 seconds, friends. You know, make them make him make the extra pass.
What I have found is one tends to get a little aggressive, like at that point, like especially if we've been doing it the whole game. It's like, so I almost need a call to tell him or her slow, stop, like, because they're so used to being aggressive. It's a hard thing to contain, like you're saying. Yeah.
And we've done a good job over the last couple of years or the last year or so where we've like, so like the drills you've seen today are kind of like the main drills, the ones we, you know, kind of work at the beginning, but then we'll start once the season goes on, we might not do most of those drills. We might just do more of like a competitive scrimmage type things where like, we'll go 5-on-5 on
so,
five.
So for a coach listening, those drills we just went through, how long do you do those? Like from your standpoint,
I'd say the first
month
since, you know, to me, our
defense, not for you. So now don't think your team, because your team, the girls that are coming back already know, like me or someone that's just starting to.
I'd say at least 45 minutes to an hour. The first, if you're going 2 hours, at least the majority of the first half of practice or so. And we usually do them towards the beginning of practice.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in defense early, not late in practice. Yep. They'll pay much closer attention to offense later in the practice.
We take in with our practice planning, you know, we do a lot of transition stuff first, then we'll do defense. We'll always save like our offensive stuff towards the end because they're tired. It's like in a game, you want them kind of learning, you know, when you're fatigued at the end of the game, you got to be able to knock down shots. You got to be able to that mentality, you gotta be able to think a little bit. So we'll usually do some offensive stuff maybe towards the end of practice. But like I said, you won't be able to do all those in the first, you know, you might, like say, the 5-on-5 shell, just to introduce the different traps in the 3-quarter. You might do like the 3-on-3-on-4 with the 1s and 2s. You might do the figure 8 drill on the other end, and you might do the 5-on-8. That might be the only thing you do in that first 45 minutes to an hour just to get it down.
To get it down.
And then at least for the maybe the first couple of days.
But then post-Christmas, you've done these enough that they kind of know.
Yeah.
And then probably tweaking for the opponents you're playing. Like, hey, Team X is going to do this to us. Here's our counter or how we're going to read this. Yeah.
Yep. So
what causes the biggest problems for you from like opponents that you have?
What's that?
What causes the biggest problems for you from opponents that you have when, because they know you're doing this.
It's not like I'm going to think anything like teams that have multiple shooters or so where you have to really be
2-3.
But again, that's with anything you do. It doesn't matter what you run.
If they can shoot threes, yeah.
Yeah, I say the main thing, you know, if you have girls that are smart and, you know, I go back and look at our stats off huddle assist and like over the last couple of years, and the teams that have just smart kids, they're maybe more experienced, they're older, they make less mistakes. That causes problems. So we're not getting the deflections. You can tell when we go longer into the season, you know, once we start getting a, you know, championship game of districts or sectionals or quarterfinals, whatever it is, you're not going to get as many of this, you know. You're going to still control the tempo, so the ball press is going to be doing things that benefit you, but you might not get as many deflections and steals.
Do you track deflections? Is there any statistics that you track in this?
I am big on your effective field goal percentage and then turnover percentage. You know, if we win those two categories, and that's something we're lucky to have huddle assists where they do it for us. But those are two categories. And then like points per possession, we try to get like this year, I think we were like 1.03. So let us know we weren't turning the ball over. We were, you know, getting good look, you know, high percentage shots. And so usually those are the three things we take in track. We'll take a look at deflections. But usually it's just those. We just know if we win those two categories, you're going to win probably 97% of your games.
You're going to win lots of your games if you do that. I agree.
So, again, we want to take and turn people over, not turn it over ourselves, and we want to take and get, that being disciplined on offense, get good shots, get high percentage shots.
Okay, anything else for me or the coaches that are listening?
No, I think when you start putting this in, like let's say it's a coach that – like I know, Steve, you took and did a little bit of this season.
I did, and it worked at times. The problem is, it kind of got lost in the shuffle because we had some we had to work with. But
like a coach listening and they're putting this in, I think you have to be. You know, the first thing I'll tell people is you have to sell it to your team. You have to be a good salesman.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I did when I got here.
Would put it in early too. I'd put it in early.
Yeah, I put it in. Like I said, my first year here, you know, I moved down here in the summer, so I put it in over summer. But that first day I had him in open gym, and this is the first time I was really around my team. You know, I just try to sell them on, hey, we're gonna do something different that most teams don't do. That's, we're gonna press, makes and misses. You know, we're gonna be different right. in that way. And like I've told other people, I had no clue other, you know, I didn't know if anybody else was doing that around, but right. I just told, you know, we're gonna do something different. And
it's a relatively easy sell though.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think with girls it was easy. I think like I said, everybody likes to take and press and play right. that way.
Right.
And I think it's one of those things you have to kind of stay with. You know, there's going to be times where it, you know, you're going to give up some things maybe early, but you know, some coaches are too quick to, oh, scrap it and do something right. else. You know, I right. think it's your all in type defenses. And
well, especially for coaches that are building programs too, you got to look at what's coming up. Are you going to yes. have those kind of players? Are you going to, or maybe you're not, then it might not work, but
and that's why I told you at the beginning, it's kind of a good program defense because you can tweak it
right.
to fit your team. You can how aggressive you want to be. You know, the different pick. You know, if I have a team that's not as quick, maybe we don't pick up three quarter. Maybe we do more in the half court to the quarter court.
Right.
Different things like that. So just you know, I think you have to be a good salesman, and then you have to. I think if you believe in it, and the girls, your team, the boys know that you believe in it, they're going to believe in it as well.
Great. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sports Social Podcast Network.